Christmas, Merry Christmas. Jesus' mother, did you catch that? I've watched this thing 4 or 5 times, and that just now I hear it every time. I didn't hear it the first three. But, you know, Merry Christmas, Jesus' mom. That's what he says. Just get a kick out of that. Our scripture lesson for the day is Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1 and reading through verse 7. And this is the story, a part of the story of Jesus' birth. I'm reading from the Message. About that time, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. This was the first census when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to travel to his own ancestral hometown to be accounted for. So Joseph went from the Galilean town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem in Judah, David's town, for the census. As a descendant of David, he had to go there. He went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. Now, I'm going to continue, but hold up. She's not just pregnant. She's 9 months pregnant. And this is a 100-mile journey, you know, on a donkey if they're lucky and not walking. So just don't miss that. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the hostel. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. For these Sundays of the Advent season, we are recentering ourselves. For those of us who have ever gone through a Christmas season and at the end of it just said, oh, there's just got to be more to this than, you know, the mess of leftover paper under the tree. Or we've gone through and wondered, did we miss something? Did something happen? Isn't there supposed to be more? And last week we began to talk a little bit about finding time to worship, finding those times when we just intentionally look to God, even in the midst of the busyness and the craziness, even if it's just putting the Christmas CDs in the car or the playlist on the iPod and getting to sing when you're all by yourself, glory to God in the highest. But today we begin a second one, and I have to tell you, this isn't an easy one. It's about what we spend on Christmas. Last week was worship fully. This week is spend less. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we just thank you so much for this time that we have to be together and to be with you. And we pray that you will move in us in tremendous ways. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What messages did you come up with that bug you? Anybody? Come on, share. It's okay. I gave you mine. Yeah, in the back. Oh, there's smart and there's Kmart smart. Okay. Yeah. Who else? Yes. Sorry, I got two. I pointed in the same general direction. Alan, you go first. Xmas. Okay, Cheryl?
I was just
going to
say that just because the song has the word Christmas
in it, that's a Christmas song. Right. Yeah, there are those. Thank you for sharing that, because now I have to sing that in my head all day. But that one and simply having a wonderful Christmas time, I don't care to ever hear that again. Okay? Anybody else? I saw some other hands. Yes? Oh, Grandma got run over by a reindeer? Are we talking about that? We had more of that last Sunday night than we ever care to hear again, too. Oh. I have not seen this. Is it? I have not seen this. Wendy? Thank you. Have you guys seen this? This is Jared, right? The jewelry store. And this, I posted this question on Facebook, And in 2 minutes, I had that response. One of my friends from New Jersey sent, he said, you know that commercial where the guy's got to give his GPS the necklace? That's just creepy. I mean, there's nothing weird about, you know, she turns into Hal and locks the door and won't let him out of the car. But, yeah, that's a weird one. Nora? Okay. Oh, okay. So to get his relationship right.
Yeah.
Okay. Any others? Yeah, Krista.
This isn't specific, but just in general, the children's channels are just overloaded with gimme, gimme, gimme.
Oh, sure. Yeah. George? Yeah. Yeah, I think I've seen that one. Yeah, yeah. That now what the new stuff they have is good, or so good that they can't dare have the other stuff. Anybody else? Come on, isn't this kind of fun? I'm giving you an opportunity to pick on the advertisers a little bit. I gave you one of mine. I'll give you a couple of those that came off of Facebook. Somebody said, like the Kmart Smart, somebody wrote back, Christmas costs less at Walmart. Think about that. You know, you let that message sink in a little bit. The other one I got was not a commercial. It was not an advertisement, but a woman I went to college with wrote to me about the Rudolph special. Apparently, it was on TV the night before I posted this thing on Facebook. And she said, when Santa is in bed with the ice pack on his head and the thermometer in his mouth, and Santa has the ego to say, oh, we're going to have to cancel Christmas this year because he's sick. And she thought, really? We can't have Christmas because Santa can't make it? Anybody else? You have another one? It's kind of fun, isn't it? Yeah, Tez. That get through, right? I mean, just there's a finish line almost. You know, just got to break the finish line and get through. Okay. Anybody else? I have one more to share with you that particularly, and you probably don't know, it's a minor commercial. It's Rent-A-Center, and it's Magic Johnson. You know, one of my heroes, basketball player when I was growing up. I liked Magic Johnson. And he says, he opens a commercial with these words, and I have to find my notes because I want to get this right. He says, what'd I do with you, Magic? Oh, there's nothing more exciting than getting the good stuff for the holidays. And behind him, the kids are playing a Wii. That's the good stuff. I got another one. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's some crazy race that they have about whoever opens the earliest. I'm not sure I get that. Right. The night before. Yeah. Absolutely. Good question. It's a very good question. What does Black Friday have to do with Christmas? Anyway. But that's the message we receive, isn't it? I mean, that's the message we receive time and time again. If Christmas doesn't mean enough for you, what should you do according to the ads? Buy something. Yeah, until your Christmas tree looks like this. I have a picture here. Do you see that one? The picture of the Christmas tree? Right? It's just stuff. You know, if you feel empty at Christmas, you can fill it. Get more stuff, you know? And we think, is that really what this is all about? In 2007, it was estimated, that's the last time I found numbers for it, It was estimated that almost $475 billion were spent by Americans on Christmas. Over half of that, it is said, was put on credit cards. And over half of what was put on credit cards was put there by people who hadn't paid off 2006's Christmas gifts yet. Filling our stockings, and in essence, filling our hearts and our lives with stuff. That is the message we receive of what Christmas is about. I'll share with you a passage from a book. This is from Blue Like Jazz by Donald Miller. I highly recommend this book, by the way. And he talks about money. Donald Miller, when he wrote this book, was nobody. Well, you know, in the writing realm. He hadn't made a whole lot of money yet. And so he opens this chapter called Money with this. Writers don't make any money at all. We make about a dollar. It's terrible. He's now, this is a New York Times bestseller. He doesn't have these issues anymore. But just share with you what he wrote, and I want to know if this resonates with you. He wrote, "I hate not having money. I hate not being able to go to a movie or out for coffee. I hate that feeling at the ATM when after getting cash, the little receipt spits out. The one with that number on it, the telling number, the ever low number that translates into how many days I have left to feel comfortable. The ATM to me often feels like a slot machine. I walk up to it, hoping to get lucky." Then he writes, "I feel like a complete loser when I don't have money. That's the real problem. I feel invalidated, as if the gods have not approved my existence, as if my allowance has been cut off. We are worth our earning potential, you know. We are worth the money we make. Maybe this is a man thing. Maybe women don't think about this. I don't know, but I think about it. I think I am worth what I earn, which makes me worth $1. Not having money affects the way a man thinks about himself." Does this resonate with anybody? It does me. Those days when you're struggling, those days when it's difficult, and we think, what am I worth? Am I just worth the money that I make? And maybe it works the opposite way as well. Maybe when you've got a lot, you start thinking, I'm okay. And God must love me a little bit more because I have the things and the stuff. I think this goes toward our idea of what Christmas is all about. If we're worth what we make, if we're worth what we're able to spend, then we express our love by sharing our worth with those around us. And that gets translated into simply dollars and cents. How much you spend on the people around you. Now, Donald Miller goes on to understand that he's not what he makes. He's a Christian author and understands those things. But I want to read to you, this is from Jesus has a totally different answer. He says this, Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 15, and this is the message again. "Someone out in the crowd said, 'Teacher, order my brother to give me a fair share of the family inheritance.'" Now, you guys know a rabbi was settled not only theological issues, but some practical issues as well. And so someone came to the great teacher Jesus with all his wisdom and said, "My brother is cheating me out of some of my money. Make him not do that anymore." And the scripture continues, Jesus replied, "Mister, what makes you think it's any of my business to be a judge or mediator for you?" And then speaking to the rest of the crowd, Jesus went on, "Take care, protect yourself against the least bit of greed. Life is not determined by what you have, even when you have a lot." Well, that's not the message you get in the media at all, is it? Life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot. Donald Miller said he felt like his value was equal to the value of his bank account, and we oftentimes feel that our value is equal to what we can spend on Christmas. Long before Jim Carrey put on the green suit, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas was my favorite Christmas story. I own the cartoon on VHS. I mean, I've had this thing for a really long time. And I've shown it in churches probably for the last 10 years at least. And there's one scene I like to show, and I've often shown it on Christmas Eve. It's the end of the story. And I'm going to read to you. This is what Dr. Seuss wrote and is read in the cartoon version. The Grinch, after he's stolen all the gifts, and they sing anyway, Dr. Seuss writes this, "The Grinch with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow stood puzzling and puzzling, how could it be so? It came without ribbons, it came without tags, it came without packages, boxes, or bags. He puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas perhaps means a little bit more?" Dr. Seuss got it 40 years ago. And he shared it with all of us when we were growing up. Christmas doesn't come from a store. Christmas means not a little bit, but a whole lot more. As Donald Miller says later in that chapter, we aren't what we earn. We aren't what we have. We aren't what we can buy. We aren't what we spend. The most exciting thing about Christmas isn't getting the good stuff for the holidays. The most exciting thing about Christmas, the thing that we should most want to share, is the gift that we've received. A baby born in the stink of a stable to remind us that even when our lives aren't going the way we have them planned, God's not afraid of the mess. And he shows up in the midst of it and comes not just to offer a little hope and help, but comes to walk with us through every bit of it. It's Jesus that gives our life meaning and value. I mean, that's why every Christmas they got to run the same ads, because you buy all the stuff and you know what? It didn't work. There's still an emptiness. There's still a hole. The real meaning doesn't come from what we spend, from what we get, from what we give. It's from who Jesus is and what he means to us. Years ago, I read a book by an author named Walt Mueller from the Center for Parent and Youth Understanding. I love that. He's the Center for Parent and Youth Understanding. And he wrote a book to help parents and youth communicate. And he said this to the parents, and this is not a direct quote because I can't find the direct quote, but trust me, it's from Walt. It says something like this: "We're so busy trying to give our kids the good life that we forget to give them the best life." You hear that? We're so busy trying to give our kids the good life that we forget to give them the best life. And the best life isn't under the tree. The best life isn't the stuff. The best life is a life that we've surrendered and given to Christ and allowed him to live in us and through us. Now, we want Christmas to be meaningful and memorable. We want Christmas to be something very, very special. This morning, we're going to celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. And I want you to know some things about communion. I like some real things about communion, and this is just some stuff I share with you. The bread that we use, you know, there's no special holy recipe for bread. You know where we get it? Yeah, Safeway. It's the same bread you can eat on your kitchen table, but we put it on this table and we say, this is Jesus' body. This represents for us Jesus' body. And something very ordinary becomes very holy. The juice that we use, it's Welch's from a bottle. It's not special. It's not from some special vineyard, some out, you know, in the Holy Land. No. Came off probably the same shelf in Safeway. But we put it on the table and we pray over it, and something very ordinary becomes very holy because we invite God to be a part of it. The water we use from baptism, people often ask, I love this with confirmation classes, where do we get the water? And they always think, you know, from the Sea of Galilee or the River Jordan. And I say, no, from the tap in the kitchen. It's ordinary, regular old water. But we put it in that bottle, that jug up, oh, it's not there, but you know, the big bowl. And we invite God to be a part of it, and something very ordinary becomes very holy. There was a stable. It's an ordinary stable. But Jesus came in the mess, invited in, and suddenly that moment of very ordinary became very holy. You and me. And our Christmases, it's nothing special until we invite Jesus in and give it to him. And something very ordinary becomes very holy. You want it to be special? It's not about spending more money. Hey, you want it to be special? It's not about doing this big, extraordinary thing. You want it to be special? It's one thing. Just give it up. Invite Jesus in. And the very ordinary becomes very holy. That's what we celebrate. That's what we celebrate this season. Our everyday, ordinary lives becoming the very place where God lives. Let's pray together. God, we really like our stuff. And it's things that we want for Christmas. But God, we also know that there are times when we and those around us get ourselves in trouble because we're trying so hard to make Christmas special by throwing money around. And you remind us, God, it's not how special a thing is in and of itself that makes it special. But that when you come, you take really ordinary stuff and make it holy, incredibly special. And so as we celebrate this sacrament of communion, as we take the bread and it came from Safeway and dip it in juice that's just Welch's, but today, oh, it's so much more. And remind us, oh God, in that moment of just how you make things special and holy. All of this we ask in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ, the baby in the manger. Amen.